Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The following production is brought to you by the Talkin' Buds Leaf Show.
Here we go, Talkin' Buds Leaf Show, and they live to fight another day. I, like you, and like the rest of you, were mentally prepared to come on here tonight before this game started and do the whole post-mortem thing. You said before the game started that you weren't mentally ready to do that tonight. You needed to... wanted to wait a few days.
The best part about that is I walked into tonight's game being like, I don't know if I'm ready to have the post-mortem episode because we kind of done it two times in the last like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But now they go out and win. And now I'm realizing that it's actually the opposite. Now that they've won, it's harder switching into the mode of like optimism. And I last episode, I said I would love to hear what the most optimistic Leaf fan would say during this stretch. And they would have said, you know what? They can win game six and push this series. And guess what? That's exactly what they did.
I had a feeling that they were going to win this game just because they were so bad in game four. And they've been a way better team on the road this year than they've been at home. And I just had this feeling. The Bruins, the one thing you got to remember about the Bruins is... getting this fourth win for the Bruins is like a hurdle that they have to overcome mentally after what happened last year. I'm not saying they're still not going to get it, but I didn't think the Bruins were going to come out and run the Leafs over tonight like they did in game four and dominate them the way they did in game four. So let's start with this Austin Matthews situation. We talked, he gets pulled from the game ahead of the third period in game four. During the morning skate yesterday, it's like he's not practicing with the team. Today, he goes out and skates for 8 minutes, comes off the ice. The team is still going with this illness thing. It's clearly not an illness. There's some video floating around from the game the other night where he says to the trainer, it looks like he says, I can't effing skate. So he clearly has some sort of injury that he's dealing with. The Leafs are doing their silly, shrouded in mystery thing and are swearing that it's an illness. So he doesn't play. My main take that I want to say tonight is one of the things that we as a fan base have talked about a lot since the game four loss is culture. Culture has been a big thing that we've talked about, and this team's culture and the way they were built and how they're deployed and so on and so forth and the way they respond in the media and all that type thing. I would say tonight, without question, was their best game of the series from start to finish. If you look at the team's record, when one of the four, quote unquote, core four is out, it's pretty good. They play pretty well. And the reason I think for that is, and if anything, this is just building the case to break up the core four come the offseason, but when you remove one of these guys, it stops being about the core four and becomes just about the team and all for one and one for all type thing. And everybody starts pulling in the same direction. And that goes for the coach too. Sheldon Keefe is someone who is very bought into this core four ideology. And when you take one, like Mitch Marner getting hurt was the catalyst to try Matthews with someone else after this utter, like complete stubbornness to not do it for years. Austin Matthews getting hurt, the lines are much more balanced. The way he deploys them is much more... it's not that the lines are more balanced. It's Keefe is not hyper-focused on getting the same four guys out there constantly. I thought the Domi-Bertuzzi-Marner line was their best line tonight, generating a ton of offensive chances. And it's just because I just feel like it permeates through everyone in the room and on the bench that this isn't the Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, John Tavares, William Nylander show. He's been removed. He finally does what people like us and what someone like Chris Versteeg on 590 has been saying. He elevates other guys on the roster. He gets them more engaged. He gets them their touches. And wouldn't you know it, Matthew Nyes turns out to be the hero tonight.
You know, it's an interesting point. You mentioned it while we were watching the game that breaking up these guys kind of brings a new element to this team. And it's to me, it's like kind of hard to quantify. Like, I mean, all you can really do is just look at the records without Riley. You know, Riley's not technically included in the core four, but you look at the records without all these guys. I know the worst records without Marner in the lineup, but yeah, there is evidence there that they do play better when these guys are not in the lineup. And it's, I don't know. I thought tonight they skated harder. They moved the puck better. They limited chances. Joe Wall made a save or two when it really mattered.
I just want to be abundantly clear here, because the one thing I've learned from this recent playoff run and our videos having a tons of views and success and comments and engagement is the amount of people who listen to what you say but interpret it the way they want to interpret it versus what you're actually saying is quite honestly astonishing. Like, I read some comments on YouTube and on Instagram and on TikTok. I'm like, what the fuck are you even listening to? To be clear, I'm not saying that this team is a better team without Austin Matthews or Mitch Marner or William Nylander. What I am saying is the culture and the identity of this team since Kyle Dubas took it over all those years ago is it revolves around these four guys, to the point that the coach behind the bench buys into that so much that the only time he deviates from it is when he's forced to. So I think tonight you saw better performances from other guys across the lineup, because with no Austin Matthews, Sheldon Keefe is forced to elevate guys like a Matthew Nyes, and that's what ends up happening. Yeah, Matthew Nyes had his best game as a Leaf tonight.
But you also could make the argument that the only difference between tonight and other nights were goaltending and defense.
Oh, Wall is one of the main reasons they got that win tonight.
Like, we can talk about how the forward lines look different and how they play different without a core four guy in the lineup. But at the end of the day, they still had one goal going into after 60 minutes going into OT. And
they had, like, you said though, the other night you talked about Jeremy Swayman and how you think that narrative's a bit overblown.
The most overrated narrative in this series, the fact that Jeremy Swayman's some legend. I just think, I know Bruins fans might not like hearing that, but I just think that narrative is so overblown in this series.
But tonight, I thought he actually had to make quality saves because they had more scoring chances.
Right, you're right.
Yes.
But, I mean, at the end of the day, though, show me the results. You know, like, they haven't had great scoring chances, especially in game four. They were fucking awful. They couldn't get anything to the middle of the ice. But still, they still had one goal after 60 minutes. So if you really dissect the effort and look what the difference is in the game, it's just they defended better. And they also weren't on the PK that much tonight either. And let's not forget about their power play. That's, what, 1-for-17 right now?
0-for-3 tonight.
But what the Bruins had one power play.
Yes.
That one power play, so that's one opportunity. Like, usually they get around three. So that's two opportunities you limit to them. You play better defensively, and your goaltender makes two or three solid saves in the third period. Like, to me, that's the difference in the game. I'm not looking at the forward grouping. Like, yeah, it seemed like they played better, but if they were down 3-1 and still getting the same chances they were getting, it wouldn't seem as good as it seems now that they have the W and they're going to game six. You know, like, I honestly think that the main difference in this game was just the defense played better, the goaltending was better, and they limited power play opportunities.
I don't know if I'm all the way there with you on that. I gotta be honest. I think they
made some really stupid decisions tonight.
Well, yes, but offensively,
I saw a couple things that I didn't love. Like, Mitch Marner had an opportunity coming around the net. There was two Bruins in front of him. He could have easily used his amazing edges as a skater that I hear about endlessly and take it to the inside and get to the net. Instead, he decided to somehow stay in front of those two Bruins and get to the outside and try to make an impossible pass to Kaliar and Croak, which then he whiffed. Max Domi's in on a 2-on-1.
Max Domi.
He has all fucking day to look at any corner of the net, any opening in Jeremy Swayman. I'm assuming you do pre-scouting before you face a goaltender. Like last year, it was all about Vasilevskiy glove side. He's got a weak spot on the glove side. I'm sure you can scout something about Jeremy Swayman that's like, this is his weak spot. He had all day to look for a spot. Instead, he decides to make a 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10 difficult saucer pass.
He's also like, yeah, he's looking past
and not
the
even,
whole
not
way.
Even, and he's telegraphing it the entire time.
Okay. I guess the point I'm trying to make is, I think when you remove one of the core four guys, one of the complaints about that we and other people have had about Keefe all year is he coaches this team the way their salary cap is built. It's those four guys out there over everything in every situation. It's making sure they get their ice time. It's making sure they get their power play minutes. It's making sure, like, it's catering to those guys constantly.
Honestly,
and I think when you remove one, it gives other guys the opportunity to be more involved and more engaged.
And I'm not disagreeing with that because it's just the proof's in the evidence. Like, look at the numbers. Like, the fact that you saying that is backed up by numbers. The amount of tweets that came out today once Matthews wasn't in the lineup of their record without Austin Matthews. So what you're saying is total validity. Like, there is something to it for sure, and I don't think you're wrong.
The chase for the Stanley Cup is on, and if you're looking to light the lamp, nothing beats the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. From the start of playoff beards all the way till the hoisting of the cup, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/ice for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved. My biggest takeaway from the game tonight, the other big takeaway is Joe Woll, 27 saves. A couple 10 bellers. The narrative now. Yeah. I think we should dispel this because I was seeing this a bit on Twitter of people going at Keefe about like, well, why didn't you put?
Yeah, no.
It's like, guys, come on. Like, that's such revisionist history. No one in this fan base loves to dunk on Sheldon Keefe more than me. But like, come on. Like, Woll was terrible coming back from his injury. He was terrible. He went on that run where he let in the first shot for like four games in a row.
He played the Bruins twice and got
played the Bruins
up.
Twice, got shelled both times. Samsonov was, from New Year's onwards, was clearly their number one goalie. Like, yes, circumstances happen and they've gone to him now, and he got them that win tonight. And we were talking, like, going into overtime, we're sitting talking to each other going, here's Brent, like, they're showing Brendan Shanahan sitting up high, and we're like, here's Brendan Shanahan's job basically potentially go on the line heading into this overtime. And you were like, the hope and the prayer that this guy has is that Joe Woll goes Curtis Joseph circa 2001.
Yeah.
Just doesn't let them lose.
Yeah, it's true.
But
yeah,
you are the Joe Woll truther.
I am. Well, I just want to see the next, like, you look at, just pull up cap friendly, man. Like, Samsonov signs a one-year deal. That's coming to an end. He won them around last year, but for the most part, he's just had an okay career with this team. And everyone knows what the goaltending history has been with this franchise. It's been a fucking joke. Like, let's be completely honest. So having a guy who's homegrown, who you have, like, early in the year before he got hurt, he looked incredible. Like, I actually thought he looked amazing. So that's why I have a little bit of bias towards him. But I'm not in the camp of, you should have started Wall before Samsonov.
I just think that's 2020 that's hindsight. Yeah, that's smart guy stuff.
Yeah.
Like, and again, like I said, I'm the first one to dunk on Keefe, but like, come on.
Yeah.
I want to just touch on Matty Nyes one more time. You know, in a time where we've spent the last several days talking about breaking up this roster and making changes to this roster, I've said this forever, that I think Matthew Nyes is a key pillar of this team's future going forward. And you saw him tonight. He gets elevated to the second line role. He's got the little scuff up with Pasta in the second where he kind of goes up to Pasta and goads him a little bit and is like, go me, and Pasta skates away. He's like, yeah, that's what I thought. It's like this kid's confidence. Like, you think back a year ago at this time, he was just coming in from college hockey and was a rookie. And look at him a year later. Look at the confidence and swagger that he plays with a year later.
Yeah. I think you could just use the classic college cliche for this guy. It's like, how many games do they play in a college season? I don't know.
Not nearly as many as 82.
Between 30 and 40. I honestly love hockey. Not a diehard NCAA guy. First hand up. If you want to yurt me for not knowing anything about the NCAA, go ahead. But, I mean, this is his first full NHL year, and you look at, he's still on an entry-level deal. He's going to have to be a very important player, and tonight, the guy showed up. Like, yes. There's no two ways about it, and he's a very important part of this team because he's got another 2 years on his entry-level deal. So
I think he's got one more
because they burned him last year. Yeah, so, I mean, I love the guy. I love him. He's got size. He led their team. I'm pretty sure he led their team in hits in the regular season. He's always in on the forecheck. He does need to work on his speed a little bit. He's a little slow making a move. He's a little slow on his feet sometimes, but hey, at least the guy, you know what? He gives it his best.
I think I should come clean here with the audience and tell them the truth about you and I watching this game together tonight and how I sat there for three periods and absolutely ripped on John Tavares and just was like, I can't watch this guy anymore. And it's such a problem having him at $11 million. And what are they going to do next year? And not that you were disagreeing with me, but you did look at me and say, if they win this in overtime, he's going to be involved somehow. And sure enough, it's John Tavares that takes it to the net. And Matty Nyes that bangs in the rebound.
It always happens that way. Yeah. Like, for years, I would burn Nylander. His first couple of years as a Leaf, I'd fucking rip on this guy 24-7. And then he would just score a big goal, and all my texts would fill up being like, Nylander. So whenever we're sitting together and we're looking at a guy being like, this guy sucks, you just know at some point he's going to make a play. And I just had that feeling tonight. He scored that goal in game 6 against Tampa, and tonight he took the puck to the net with one hand and somehow it found its way to Matthew Nyes.
So if you're Sheldon Keefe and you're in the room and you want to like get the boys fired up and positives you can build off of, to me, the you got two things going for you. You've got the momentum of having Joe Wall going in there and playing well and rejuvenating the guys. And you've got what I said earlier. I think the Bruins as a team, because a lot of those guys are still here from last year, are in their head about getting that fourth win and not blowing a 3-1 lead. I think that's something you do have to your advantage. They're coming home now. We all know the home playoff record. Like I said, I felt good about them winning tonight because they're so much better on the road and have been all year than they have been at home. Scotiabank Arena has been not great for this team all year. So if they can win on Thursday night and break the home, see, isn't it wild that my optimism heading into Thursday night is still not very high, simply because this team is so terrible on home ice and has been for what is it? It's like they haven't won, like they've lost 7 straight home playoff games.
Like what you said with one of the guys being out of the lineup of the core four. It's the same thing with this. It's the numbers are just flat out there to be like, this is awful.
Yeah.
They cannot win there. It's brutal. I said it in the regular season. I can't. That's something about that building. I know it's the losing. I know it's the price of the tickets. I know it's the culture, but I don't know, man. I don't know if they'll ever be able to reverse that culture in that arena, man. It is awful. It is terrible.
It is.
I think everyone needs to take a share of the blame for the culture in that
arena. Hold on. I thought on Saturday night that place was rocking. We talked about this after game four. I thought that place was rocking on Saturday night, and the team just being so bad for 40 minutes just took everyone out of it.
But I can't blame the fans for being like, this is awful. Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, what am I supposed to cheer for here? There's nothing to cheer for.
Yeah. So I think that's it. I think if you're the Leafs, like, you got to keep trying to, this is like, the reality is what it is. Like, you and I talked watching that game tonight about how when you watch the Bruins, one of the biggest differences in this series has been the fact that the Bruins, there's just more buy-in into playing a style across the whole Bruins team than there is with the Leafs. And it's like, it's coaching in the sense that it's where the Bruins are positioned. It's pressure on points. It's sticks in lanes, as you always like to talk about, right? And so the reality is, if the Leafs are going to win another game in this series, it's going to be a lot like tonight. It's like they're going to have their chances and whatever, but they're going to be holding on for dear life defensively. The difference tonight versus the first few games from a goaltending perspective is Joe Wall. I don't think Samsonov was awful for four games, but he wasn't great and he didn't bail them out.
Yeah.
That's
all tonight was about.
Yeah, these defensemen can't handle a puck and they can't make a pass and they can't, like, they're just not skilled enough in that regard. And Joe Wall was there tonight to make the saves to bail these guys out.
Like, what have we learned about this series? The Bruins just capitalize on you. How many shots did they have after the first period? I don't know, like, they had less than 10. And if you look at the entire series, like, the Leafs, even though it seemed like they didn't have a lot of great chances, which they haven't, they've mostly outshot the Bruins in this series. So what do you have to do? You have to make critical saves at the right moment, and you have to limit power play opportunities. Isn't that what tonight's, that's what it's all about. That's what they did. And look what happens. And also, I'm furiously looking this up because I thought I heard this the other day. The Bruins have also lost two first-round series in a row. So
yeah, and last year was the 3-1. They blew 3-1 to the Panthers.
And they lost to Carolina the year before that. So.
And this is like the Bruins, like, if you want to talk culture thing, like, if you're Jimmy Montgomery, you're a little nervous too. Like, the Bruins, like, this isn't like Brendan Shanahan just pardoning Sheldon Keefe over and over again. Like, the Bruins blow another lead here, Cam Neely is firing Jim Montgomery. You can take that to the bank.
and we talk about how great of a coach he is, but
yeah, you can take that to the bank.
They lose this series. That's not Boston Bruins culture.
No, it's not Boston Bruins culture. All right, buddy. I think we're going to get out of here. We got a
nice short one, eh?
Nice short one. It's late.
What does that say about us?
I think it's
they go out, they get their asses kicked, and we can go 40 minutes. They come out, they put together a decent effort, they win. It hits around 21 minutes, and we're like, all right.
No, I think, okay, so a couple of things. One, it's late. It's a post-game show. You and I don't love doing post-game shows. The one that we did the other day was a Sunday morning. We had a chance to sleep on it. We had all kinds of things we were going to discuss. Secondly, let's call a spade a spade. When they win, engagement is not great for Leaf content. So keep the video a little shorter and positive and upbeat and let people move on with their day and get ready for game six.
And also, there's enough. Again, I've referenced evidence. This is the third time I've referenced it this episode. There is no, like, they might have won this game. They prolonged it another game. They could come back in the series. Who knows? But what evidence do you have to be like, they figured it out? They did it.
Oh, no.
They can come back. It's like, yeah, they won this game tonight, and that's great. And I don't want to constantly dog on them, but how can you possibly even feel like, okay, we're going to game six. They're going to play at home where they can't win. They can't do anything. So, like, they might have pushed it to another game, but I still don't feel very confident about anything going forward with this team in this series.
I'm going with my two storylines from tonight. Joe Wall and Sheldon Keefe, once again, only getting guys engaged because he's forced to, but Matt Nyes is your hero.
What, Max Domi on the face-offs? What was
Max,
that all about?
Max Domi was a baby goat tonight on the draws.
What was that? He's like Bergeron on the
Now if we can just get him to shoot the puck, that's...
He's going to, like... I want to just roll that clip for him. I'd take that guy in the film room and be like, dude,
I just would love to look at him and go
all day, buddy.
I would just love to look at him and go, what are you thinking?
I just love how he just made, like, if he made a nice cross ice along the ice pass to Bertuzzi, it'd be like, okay, whatever. Like, they have their shot. He literally attempts like a practice saucer. On a 2-on-1 of the biggest
Tyler
game
Bertuzzi,
of the year.
Tyler Bertuzzi, a guy who has hands of stone.
Yeah, like, who can maybe bang in a rebound, but isn't exactly known for his one-timing ability.
I know.
And he decides to telegraph it the whole way and flip an incredibly difficult saucer pass, too.
He's just a pass-first kind of guy.
I don't know.
Ian Marner, it's that London Knights thing. Like, just this pass first kind of guy.
GTHL thing.
All right, guys. Well, I thought this was potentially going to be our last episode. Well, it's not going to be our last episode of the season when it's over, but I thought that tonight was going to be a lot more dramatic than it wasn't. And I'm actually leaving feeling pretty good. And we get one more Leaf game to watch on Thursday night at home. So, like we've been for the first five, we will be here after game six. So hit that like and subscribe button below. A huge thank you to all the new subscribers. We had a shitload of new subscribers after game four. Tons of comments on the video. Even some ridiculous comments. Some of these comments, like, I love you all. I really do. But some of these comments that some of these people write on our video. Hey. It's insane. It's like, what the hell are you talking about,
engagement,
man?
Engagement is engagement.
Engagement is engagement, and we really appreciate every last one of it. And same thing with the audio. I've noticed some people have been leaving some audio reviews on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts, so keep that up if you haven't already.
Spread the word, tell your friends.
Really appreciate it. We'll see you guys after Game 6.